Okay, fantastic. Hey, if you've got a Bible, turn to Genesis 14. And while you're turning, I'm going to take just a few minutes at the beginning here to tell you something that we've been telling you about for the last few weeks. And decided just to do it right here, easier than breaking up the service, the music service more. What a great music and praise set this morning. Absolutely. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Great set this morning. But we decided to just share with you about kind of the heartbeat that it's been on my heart about paying down our church debt. And so we're kind of right upon that. And I've been asking you, if this is your first Sunday, what I shared a couple of weeks ago, first Sunday in a while, is that we just really had God's put on my heart just to go ahead and, because we're getting close. And I shared with you a few weeks ago some of the numbers, and we're really getting close to being debt-free. And so I want to go ahead and focus on that over the next few months and just share it with us and keep it in front of us. And so I just ask you to start praying about maybe what God have you do to be a part of that, if you can. And if you believe God put something on your heart like He's put on my heart about doing that. So we're going to start that next Sunday. And I've asked just folks to give if they can and what they can and what God lays on their heart to be able to give next Sunday. And then that'll kind of be the kickoff, and we'll kind of focus on it until the end of June and see if by the end of June we can take care of that. That would mean so much in the life of our church, but also set us free to do a lot of things that I shared with you last week. Just some things we really obviously looking forward to do that would free those things up. So I just wanted to remind you of that. So it'd be kicking off next week. So if you and I've asked if you have a gift that you'd like to bring that next week. If you want to do that every week, you know, just maybe just give regularly towards it. We want that to be able to happen too. And so anyway, just wanted to take the time to remind you again this morning of kind of where we're going, and that begins next week. I'll send you something in the mail this week, and then an email, video email probably, and just share with you a little bit more through the week and remind you and different things like that. Okay. Well, as you turn to Genesis, today is going to we've been in this series. Let me just kind of give you an overall look. I have been very excited. I've already shared with you that I've had so much fun sharing this because I love people to know who we're supposed to be. You know, because as I've told you from the beginning is that of this series of healthy church, the term healthy is amazing term. It's not perfect, but it's healthy. When you take a look at a family, okay, and when you look at a family and say, well, they're not perfect, but they are healthy. Well, the word term healthy can mean a whole lot of things. It can mean that they're all healthy physically, right? It can mean they're close and they're tight-knit and they support one another, and therefore they're healthy in that way. So the catch term today is that you got healthy and then you have dysfunctional, all right? So it's all how you look at it. So when you take a look that God has called His children to be a family, and He calls that family a church. Remember, I've been telling you the term church is people. It's not denominations. It's not all those things. It's people who banded together to do and to be who God's called them to be. And so I have found it's very simple. Whenever God presents something, it's simple enough for everybody to be able to get it. That's why the gospel itself is so simple. But I wanted you to, as we see, it's very simple because Jesus has already told us what our purpose is. Okay, it's very easy to understand, very simple to understand. It's not always easy to do all the time, right? And therefore, our purpose, our reason to exist, is to make disciples. We're going to talk about that next week. Okay, go ye therefore in all nations, make disciples. That is who we're supposed to be. We are to be in that vein of thinking, in that vein of direction, all the rest. Now, so that's our purpose for existing. But there's something about that. That we need to understand. It's and this is what we've been talking about over the past few weeks. Because the Lord, as we look at the Scriptures, He has a desire. We've looked over this the past few weeks. His desire is to use us as a group. Okay? And that's where the strength's going to come from. As us together. Not of just me up here sharing or just these doing music, but it's a whole body of Christ that's making the difference. Therefore, as I have told you in the weeks past, and we're going to bring it all together next week, but I'll give you just a little bit more again so that we'll remind all of us. As I've told you before, it's a whole lot more important that we are being who we're supposed to be than doing what you're supposed to do. Because I have seen people go out and try to do what they're supposed to do without being who they're supposed to be. And what happens over here is you can't do what you're supposed to do very long if it's not who you are. It's just the way it works. Either you'll get squabbling within, you know, or whatever, or you'll get discouraged. Nobody cares what I'm doing, or something, whatever. And it's just incredible. Therefore, being who you're supposed to be. Well, when you take a look at our statement for our church, we've called it C4, right? We've been telling you about that's who we're supposed to be. But remember that the first three C's, connecting with God, connecting with others, and connecting with ministry or serving, has to do with being who we're supposed to be. Connecting with the world, okay, is what we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, we've been talking about this and sharing with each other and here what this looks like. I have found that in order for a soldier to do what he or she's supposed to do, there's a lot of work and training and getting a unit in unity. There's a whole lot of different things before you can do. Now, you can just tell them, hey, why don't you act like a soldier, okay? The better thing is, be one. Do what it takes to be one. Then when the time comes, it will be no problem acting like one, right? That's why sometimes believers can be accused of being hypocrites. Because we're trying our hardest to do what He's called us to do without being who we're supposed to be. Does that make sense? Is everybody catching on what I'm saying? So that's what we've been talking about over the weeks past, and we're going to finish it up next week. Because this is simple. It's the vision that God has for reaching our world. And it's to make disciples. That's why He says that you're going to know. Okay, the world's going to know that you're believers or that you're mine because of your love one for another. Jesus said that. So it's more than just doing what we're supposed to do. It's being who we're supposed to be. First, then, connecting with God. That makes sense. Growing in your faith. So then making disciples is, first of all, of make sure you're investing in yourself that you are a disciple. And that you are growing and following Christ. Okay? And then obviously the other part is helping others become that. The other part then comes with C2, and this one's getting tougher, believe it or not. We have such a changing world around us, and you've heard me say this over the past few weeks, but we have such a changing world around us that we're getting more and more isolated from one another. And we're getting more and more to where we don't think of others. I'm not saying this room in here, but our culture just in general. And therefore, it makes it hard because God has called us to connect with one another. Because if we're going to do what we're supposed to do, the best way to get that started is connect with each other. And there's something about, I've talked to you about this in weeks past, there's something about having to learn to love one another, even when somebody's not lovable, that God wants you to learn about what that looks like, about who He is, about how He loved us when we weren't lovable. Anyway, there's something about it. Anyway, we've already talked about it. So connecting with others, connecting with ministry, that's serving. That is, when you have a strong, healthy family, it's a family that serves one another, usually in a family. those who are older invest and serve in those who are younger. And it's that way in the church, right? Church family. Those who are older in their faith should be giving of their time and their talents and who God's made them to those who need to grow to be a disciple, make disciples, okay? So, again, we've been talking about these things, and it's kind of fallen into several pictures that we've been focusing on of what this looks like, okay? First one is connect. We've been encouraging to get connected, okay? I know a lot of you are newer to our church. We try to do several things. Pastor Tim's, one of his major areas of responsibility. That's why he talks to you about it a lot. One of his major area of responsibility is helping those who are new to the church find a place they can get connected. That is most of what Tim does. I mean, he oversees, and this service has been his heart from the beginning. But I want you to know that he has a heartbeat. And when I first got here 6.5 years ago, he came to me and said, I have a heartbeat for those who are new. And therefore, he comes up with these type different things that you can be a part of, starting point that you can get started in. But Main Street is a place where you can maybe find a place where you connect and fit, because it is that important. Church is so much more. Being a part of a family is so much more than just attending a service. It makes sense. So when you take a look again, so we spent a couple of weeks on connect, and we spent a couple of weeks on serve. And what it means to give of your gifts, your times, your ability. And we've got to get, and you know, I don't know that we have this huge problem here, but it has to affect us because of the world in which we live. Because our world then is all about, well, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me, right? But in a family, and in what God's called us to be, I mean, Jesus says the greatest among you are going to be the servants. In other words, it's not about us. It's about giving of ourselves to others to make disciples. And when we talk about making disciples, it goes all the way from people becoming believers to growing in the faith until they grow up to a point in time to where then they can start serving. It's an amazing thing when you take a look at the plan that God had of how this works. So as somebody becomes a believer, puts their faith and trust in Christ, there's a family for them to grow up in. A functioning, healthy family. That's what making disciples means. Now, today we're going to finish up because we've gone connect, serve, and then give. Give. And there's this picture. In fact, Jesus talks about it quite a bit, of what it means to give. I've called this God's economy. And boy, I went sharing with you last week, and I kind of rewrote what I was going to do today so that I could finish up those thoughts, because I kind of really heard it at the end of last week. And I had some questions from some of you, some very good questions that I didn't get a chance to get to. So I'm going to kind of go back, and we're going to do this part two, right? God's Economy Part Two is where we're going to be today. So we have, ready for this? We have, under this Healthy Church series, we have Connect. All right, we have serve, we have give, and then next week is going to be go. Okay, that's what Jesus says. In other words, we're not just to be this little church bubble to where we love everybody in the bubble, but don't bring anybody outside into the bubble. All right, unless everybody agrees on it. All right, that's who he's called us to be. Again, we're going to talk about that next week. But this week, I wanted to finish up this God's economy part. Because I shared with you some things last week that I think really helped. Because I like for you, as much as we can, I like for you to know not only what God told us to do, but some of the reasons why. And a lot of times all we hear is, well, this is God's command. Well, I wonder why. You know, I wonder why God says that. You know, I ask myself that question all the time. So we're going to get to that at the very end this morning. But last week I shared with you some of God's earlier thoughts of his economy. When God was setting up the nation of Israel, who were going to be his unique people, okay, he set it up from the very beginning. Because he pulled these people out of slavery. And they had nothing. They were starting from scratch. Okay? And God was going to allow this nation of Israel to be a light to the world. A light to enlighten the Gentiles, as we talk about at Christmas time, right? And therefore, that is who Israel was supposed to be. Okay? And therefore, what happened with that early time, God began to set up. That's where you get these, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. God's giving them different pictures. But here's what he did. He brought them. We talked about this last week. Number one, if you want to, this is just going to be a little bit of a review of what we did last week. So if some of you didn't make it last week, we'll know where we're going this morning. All right. Number one, just remember the Levites. Okay. The Levites, we talked about last week. Okay. And we talked about how when Moses brought the Israel out, and remember, he brought them all the way right to the promised land, and then he handed it over. He died and handed it over to Joshua before he died, right? And then Joshua took them in to the promised land. Remember, these were slaves, about 2 million of them, and they were born into slavery. So they didn't know anything. They had a lot of problems along the way. You can read about it. But they finally get, in the book of Joshua, they finally get to go into the promised land. And they go in, and God goes before them, and they conquered the entire area that God had given to Abraham. We talked about that this past summer. And God had promised Abraham. So here they are. There's this huge chunk of land, and there's all these tribes that were all just brothers, okay, that had descended down, and they were good-sized tribes. Well, around 12 tribes, and it's a little bit different because Joseph wound up getting there's no tribe of Joseph. There was Ephraim and Manasseh, but we don't have time to talk about all that. So, again, we have a couple of million people, but they're broke up into 12 or 13 tribes, however you look at it. And so God, through Joshua, they start giving out the land, okay? And they give a big chunk of land, like a state, Say you had a son named Florida. All right. Well, you get this chunk, okay? And then you got this son named George. So you get Georgia, right? And then it's kind of like that, believe it or not. There were these chunks of land that were given as an inheritance. But Levi, looks like Levi got the shaft. But he really didn't. But the tribe of Levi, God says they're not going to get an inheritance. I'm going to give them cities. I'm going to give them like a city like, say, Ocala. It's right in the middle of the state. Maybe put one down in Miami and whatever. And then in Georgia, I'm going to give one of them Macon. And therefore, these Levites were scattered throughout all of Israel. And God said, I have a purpose. The Levites were going to be the ministers, if you will, the pastors to the people. They were going to also be the priests. Now, God did not give them an inheritance. Why? Because he did not want them working the land. He wanted them serving the people on God's behalf. So this is the reason I called this God's economy. Because this was God's plan. Right? So take a look. I didn't have you turn to this, so just look at the screens. This is just still a little bit of a review from last week. Numbers chapter 18, verse 6. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel, and they are a gift to you, given to the Lord, to do the service, if you like writing in your Bible, of the tent of the meeting. Now, what does that mean? That means that they're going to be the teachers. They're going to be the ones who serve. The whole section of them are going to be priests, but then all the rest of them are going to be the ones who take care of all of the details that it takes to have services. The tent of meeting, right? Now, and this is going to be throughout. Now and we talked about last week that we're going to be musicians that would lead the rest of the people in praise and worship. And so you've got all of this God sets together, and this is what I want them to do. Now, here's what God's plan was. All right, Numbers chapter 18 and verse 24. For the tithe of the people of Israel which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. So here's what I want to happen. God says this. I want to set aside a tenth of what you're going to make. In other words, see, these original Israel folks didn't have a problem with this, because they remembered that they had nothing to begin with. In reality, that's all of us. This didn't start becoming a problem until later. But at the beginning, they didn't have a problem. Why? Because all the land that they had got it given to them, and they all remembered, oh, yeah, that's right, Levi is not getting any, so we're going to take a tenth of what we get to support them so they can do the work of the ministry around the nation. They got it. But isn't that amazing how God set that up? Now, here's a couple of questions I've had that I want to clear up. One is, I had somebody say, well, does that mean that, Jeff, we're just supposed to give but not do anything? Like the Levites, that's a good question. And the answer is no, because it's different today. It says in Hebrews that we now as believers are a generation of Levites and priests, right? Therefore, God is using us as His church. It's a different thing. Therefore, we don't need priests and Levites, quote, today. Why? Because we don't need somebody going to God on our behalf as far as a priest. Why? Because Jesus is our high priest, which you'll see just in a minute. Therefore, the Scripture says we can come boldly into God's presence. But there's still this picture of the work of ministry that God had set up, okay, among us. We'll talk more about that. All right. So again, what would happen, and I gave you this illustration. There was this roller coaster ride in Israel. And the roller coaster ride was this. People would start coming up with excuses or whatever. Well, I had a bad year or whatever. And they wouldn't give. So what would happen is there would be a shortfall. And so some of the Levites, this never happened all at once. It degraded over time. And then what happened was there'd be a handful of Levites says, well, there's not enough, so I'll go out and get a job. And it was probably not a big deal at first. And then the Levites, what happened, it would start to decline. And the less that the people would give, the more Levites would go and get jobs. And the less ministry that would be done, and the less ministry would be done, the less people's hearts would be challenged. And before long, there weren't any Levites left. They were all out working. And there was nobody doing what God had told them. And that's when the nation of Israel would have some terrible times. And then what usually would happen, we talked about one last week with Hezekiah, a king would emerge that says, we're going to get some things right. And he'd get in touch with all the Levites, and he'd have them all quit their jobs and get back to doing what they were supposed to be doing. The people would start giving again, and there'd be this huge resurgence spiritually. Okay? And then just take a look at it. It's all right there. But I just wanted you to see, we talked about this last week, I wanted you to see that God had this plan. And I think it amazing that He set it all up according to the heart of Israel. Therefore, if their heart was to give to the Lord, then they would stay strong. And you know, guys, I think that's amazing. I know it's fairly bold, but I want you to understand the truth about what the Scripture teaches. You see, God's always cared about your heart. It's really all He cares about. That's why the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your... Yeah, so it's a heart thing. It's always been a heart thing. God doesn't need anything. Why? Because He has it all anyway. But it's the heart. And the Scriptures teach us, Jesus taught us, that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And there's nothing, as you take a look at the parables of Jesus, there is nothing that rivals for your heart like your stuff. Okay? And it's amazing when you begin to see that. And so I think it interesting that God set the whole thing up this way. All right? Way back when. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk to you about tonight, well, how does that translate to us today? Okay, that's all way back then. How's that? We're going to talk about that at the very end today. But I just have a strong desire, because sometimes I don't talk about this as much, but I've been here long enough to know that this, you know, this is what my heart is for you to know. Okay? And you know, my desire is for us to be the church God's called us to be, and therefore be usable. And I'm here to tell you that those who don't give, it's a heart issue. It just is. Either those that don't give time to serve. Now, if you're brand new in your faith and you're still just growing, I'm not talking to you right now. All right? You need to learn what those things mean and grow in that. But if you've been a believer a while, I want you to know God sees it as a heart issue. And I just want you to hear it. Because nobody's talking about it today, except for those guys on television that are manipulating everybody. But it is the truth, how God sees it. Jesus said, I told you this, Jesus said more on your giving, time, talent, treasures. He spent more time on that than he did on heaven and hell, teaching on heaven and hell combined. Why? Because he knows there's nothing that will rival for your affections and for your priorities, like your stuff. Interesting. I mean, when you take a look at the parables of the talents, right? When Jesus told that story. Or when Jesus told that story of the parable of the rich fool, right? Who says, I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build bigger so that I can have all of this. And then I won't have to do anything. I can sit back with a cigar, you know, and one of those little drinks with a little umbrella in it. And Jesus, you know what Jesus called him? A fool. A fool. I said, in the day that you head that direction, Jesus says, is the day you're going to die. Jesus is pretty powerful about it. I just want you to hear it. Because there's nothing that rivals with your affection like your stuff. Now, that does not mean, okay, that does not mean that you can't do fun stuff with your family, that you can't have nice things. Please don't hear me. I'm not saying that. I just want you to hear the way God looks at it. And that when he said, I want you to be a part of this group called Israel, and you're going to be my people, he said. All right? You're going to be my children, and I'm going to be your father, your God. And this is how I want it set up. Now, when we take a look at today, there's one other thing I want to take. So number one is the Levites. Remember the Levites. Number two is a look back at Melchizedek. And some of you are scratching your head saying, who? Mel who? All right. He's a very obscure guy, but was a very profound looking guy in the life of Abraham. And then it was mentioned again in Hebrews. And let me just kind of throw this one out to you and let you see how important it is. Okay? So look at Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17. All right, I had you turn, 14 verse 17. You feel it like before. All right, 14. All right, this is on Abraham. Now, if you were here this past summer, all right, we talked on the life of Abraham and we covered this in a week. But I wanted you to see it again in this light of what we're talking about is God's economy, because it's pretty amazing to me. All right, here we go. We'll take a look at it. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer. Now, Chedorlaomer, okay, is not a type of cheese. It was a king at that time that had come down and had attacked the south part. It's an ancient time. It was the time of Abraham. It took a whole lot of people captive and really stole, because it was very fertile down south, and so stole a whole lot of goods and a lot of things. But what they had done was they captured Abraham's nephew Lot in this battle and took him off into slavery. Well, Abraham got his own army together, and they went and attacked Chedorlaomer and defeated him. And then set all the people free, along with Lot, his nephew. It's pretty much all you need to know for understanding what we're talking about here. All right, let's read it. And he after the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, which is King's Valley. And here we go, look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now, I'd love to tell you all the symbolisms about the bread and wine. We talked a little bit about it this summer. We have to do that at another time. But it's interesting, way back then, that God was writing a story. You know, with the picture of communion, right? Passover and communion, all the way up to the time that Christ used it. So it goes all the way back to Melchizedek. It's really incredible. So it comes out. Let's see this Melchizedek. See what it says about him. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. All right, now, here we got this guy. I don't have a whole lot of time to develop this. I could do a whole series just on this. But let me just share with you and throw at you some things that are very odd about Melchizedek. We don't know much about him. He just shows up. Okay? A couple of things it says about him. Number one, it says he's the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, right? And Salem, king of peace, now Melchizedek means righteousness and peace. He's a king. And it says he's a priest of the Most High God. Now, I want you to know this, is that there's only one other person in all of the Bible that's called a priest and a king. Anybody want to guess? Jesus. Okay? Melchizedek is the only other one. So there's this obscure guy, but a very important guy, that the book of Hebrews in the New Testament picks up on. We'll read it in just a minute. And so Abraham won this huge battle. And as you take a look at some of it, you start adding it up. I read some different guys that tend to think that the amount of goods that Abraham recovered went into the tens of millions of dollars in our currency. And so when he came back after this victory, Melchizedek came out. And I want you to know that Melchizedek did not ask. But Abraham, it has to be, see, whenever you give, it has to be a willing thing. If you feel coerced, then don't do it. If you're giving out of guilt, listen to me, then don't do it. Because you won't do it very long. Because guilt doesn't last that long. But I want you to know it comes from the heart of the believer that longs to be a part of what he is doing and who he is. So Melchizedek came out to bless him. And Abraham, God even gave Abraham, way back in ancient times, the opportunity to give. Why? Because even though Abraham was a very wealthy person, what you have is immaterial. Does what you have you? Is the key. And so God gave Abraham. I mean, Abraham lived out in the middle of nowhere. Who could he give to? And God gives him the opportunity out in the middle of nowhere to this guy named Melchizedek. I don't know. I find this amazing. So Abraham, why? Because God had Abraham's heart. We see it all the way down, even to the point in time when God asks him to give his son. Isaac, right? I mean, Abraham, it was his. God, my heart's yours. It just is incredible when you begin to put it all together. Well, who is this Melchizedek guy? That's pretty much all it says about him. Because if you read the rest of it, take a look at what happened. Verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people, but you can keep all the goods for yourself." All right? In other words, king of Sodom, we know what happened to Sodom a little later. But right now, they're still a very rich, wealthy place. And you have all these goods that were taken and that Abraham had recovered. And the king was so grateful, he said, "Abraham, you just keep it all. Just let the people come back with me." But then if you'll read it a little bit later, Abraham says, "No thanks. I don't want everyone saying that the reason that I've been blessed is because of the king of Sodom. I want people thinking that I've been blessed because God's blessed me." So he gave it all back, other than the 10% he gave to Melchizedek. Interesting guy. Interesting guy. Well, who is this Melchizedek guy? Don't turn to this, but let me just read it to you and look at the screens. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. The New Testament talks about Melchizedek. In fact, the New Testament says a whole lot more about Melchizedek than even the Old Testament. We only have a couple of verses, okay, in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at what the New Testament says. All right, verse 19 of chapter 6. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Such great imagery. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Okay, a lot of Jewish thought here. They had a holy of holies that had a big curtain or a veil that nobody could go into. Okay, because it represented God's presence. And the priest had to go for you on your behalf. It's what the Levites did. Part of what the Levites did. The priestly parts of them. Remember, we don't need priests today because we don't need people going to God on our behalf. Why? Because Jesus already did that. Right? That's what he's saying here. We've already had somebody who's gone behind the veil and has taken care of what has separated between us and God. All right, let's continue to read. All right, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever, what? After the order of Melchizedek. So the scriptures flat out say that Melchizedek was a picture of who Jesus is and what he was going to come and do, be and do. Right? So Melchizedek was a picture, priest and king, of who Jesus is and what he was going to come to do. So therefore, Abraham giving to Melchizedek is a picture of the church giving to Christ. Right? That becomes the same picture. That's what he's teaching us. That's just this whole picture. That's what the New Testament is talking about. Because he goes on to talk about it. Let's read it. Okay? 7 verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first by translation of his name. And he goes on to talk about, there's some interesting things about it, about him being a priest forever. But look at verse 4. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of all of the spoils. And those descendants of who? Levi. So this whole thing fits together for those of you who have ears to hear and eyes to see. It's something that God is teaching for those who want to know. Interesting. Right. I'd love to read the rest of it to you, but it goes on to say that who was the greater person? Because in a Jewish person's mind, there was nobody greater than Abraham. And what's the writer of Hebrews saying? Well, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And he goes on to say that the superior blesses the inferior. So Abraham's the inferior here. So who has Melchizedek got to be? So it goes on to, again, it shares all those things. We've got to move on so that I can close and be done on time. But let's go to the last one. I wanted to share those things with you because these things have to do with who God's called us to be. I'm not making them up. We're not making... In other words, this is how it looks and how it's supposed to work. But number three is this. So what? Great, Jeff. Great stories. Good to hear all that. But so what? What? I always ask that question to myself. Because I used to sit out there like you and ask that question. I mean, in other words, not that disrespectfully, but it looks better. How does this relate to us today? It's the same thought of, well, so what? Okay? Now, here's the picture that I want you to see. And what has been given to us as a task to do. Okay? As a church. I'm already going to tell you how I'm going to end next week's sermon. And here it is. Here's next week's ending. You ready for it? We'll say, Jeff, you tell us we won't come next week. Oh, you'll miss the first part. All right? Here's the end of next week's message. When Jesus was asked certain things, and then Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed to this, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell won't be able to stop it. Right? So what is it that makes a church strong? What is it that makes a church healthy? Is it perfection? No. Because look around you. Other than you, there's nobody else that's perfect. So how in the world are we going to be strong enough that the gates of hell won't stop us? It has to do with health. Being healthy. What we've talked about has to be with being a family. Loving one another, Jesus says. Not only loving one another, but committing ourselves to one another to be who He's called us to be, first of all, in order to be able to do it with power and strength what He's called us to do. So how do these things relate? Today they relate directly to what the mission God gave Israel, that the mission that God gives the church. And it's the same thing, is to be a light. It's found, and I've been having the best time on Wednesday nights walking through. On Wednesday nights, I just do a Bible study, verse by verse through a book of the Bible. And we finish 1 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians now. And I just want you to see, because it says here who, you know, what this looks like. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, take a look at this. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not get discouraged. Or do not lose heart. So we have a ministry. That is, we have a service to who God is that has been entrusted to us. All right? By God's mercy, it's been entrusted to us. All right? All right, chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's part of who we are, but it's part of what we're supposed to do. Listen to me. We are to shine our light. Right? We are to let Christ's light shine through us. That, my friends, is a whole lot more about who you are than what you do. How do you shine light? Or do you just shine light by being who you are? You'll do far more for Christ by being who you're supposed to do, not trying, by being who you're supposed to be, than you will ever try. That's the weirdest thing. I've seen it in my life as a believer. You know, when I go out and try to do all this, it's okay. But then a lot of times you're not even expecting, and then God will do something incredible. Somebody will show up. Somebody will say, "Hey, I saw you pray before your meal." Or somebody will come up and say, "Hey, listen, aren't you, you know, didn't I see you?" Or it's the most amazing thing. Therefore, being who you're supposed to be. When that person cussed you out, why didn't you cuss back at them? Well, if you cussed back at them, your light wouldn't have been shining, would it? Isn't it something? It's amazing how it works. 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who is sent by someone else with the message that someone else has given them. So we talk about having this ministry. We talk about letting light shine. We talk about being an ambassador. It's all part of this incredible, what we call C4, just because we share it as C4, just so it's easier to remember. But it's who He's called us to be. And in the process of what He's called us to do. But then there's this one other piece in 2 Corinthians. And these are kind of parts. We did chapter 4 this past Wednesday. So those of y'all that come on Wednesday, we'll be doing the ambassador one this coming Wednesday. But skipping a few weeks ahead, and this is where I'll close today. It says this: we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God, chapter 8 and verse 1, by the way, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Okay? Now, skip down, if you will. I'd love to read the rest of it, and I encourage you to. But let me skip down to verse 5. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. All right? Skip down to verse 7. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. What's this act of grace? Giving. It's what he's been talking to them about giving to some needs that other believers have in other places. So, as we think about who he's called us to be, it's this package. It's this package of who he's called us to be, as opposed to the list of rules of things you have to do and things that you can't do. Therefore, I've always found that following sets of rules may get your behavior right, but it never gets your heart right. Because you can follow rules and your heart not be in it. Therefore, I obey God's commands, at least I try to, not because I have to, but because I want to. There's a huge difference. I give not because I have to, but because I want to. And it's not always easy. For sometimes I've found time is constrained. Sometimes it seems to run and run and run and run, and it's much easier to do. But when it comes down to it, is it his or is it mine? Now, as I close today, see how all this puts together. And compare it to a family. All right? When you have a family that's healthy, first of all, you have a family that's connected. Okay? And then you have a family that serves one another. And then you have a family that gives to one another. Can you imagine me going home today and saying, I'm tired of paying for all you kids' food. You know, guys, I think you could be doing something more here. But, you know, I don't say that. Why do I not say that? Number one, it's pretty rude. Number two, it's not very loving. And number three, God has called me as someone who's mature, hopefully, in our family, to provide for those who are younger. It just is the picture. And through this series, next week we're going to spend the whole time on what we're supposed to be doing. But these weeks, I just wanted to focus on who we're supposed to be. First of all, we're to be disciples, and then we're to be about making disciples. All right? So as I close today, this all begins with a relationship with Christ. Every bit of it. Therefore, how does one become part of God's family? Are you ready for this? You're born into it. You're born into it. It's not about just saying, where do I sign up? It's you're born into it. That's why Jesus says you must be born again or you're not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So if there's never been a time you put your faith and trust in him, this may sound crazy to you. But once you're a part of his family, it makes perfect sense. So if you'd like to know more about what it means to be a believer, there'll be some pastors down here afterwards that would love to talk with you. In fact, let me share this with you. After next week, we're going to have our missions conference. And by the way, guys, I want you to know this. So much that goes on here at this church. I had the opportunity to share this with someone this past week. So much goes on, you have no idea. I can't tell you how many of you would be tremendously blessed if you were to walk Wednesday night or over there right now with the children and you were to watch these dedicated volunteers doing all these things they've prepared, crafts and skits, and you go over there and you watch the kind of ministry going on to children. You'd be thrilled. Our students, Celebrate Recovery, missionaries on the field. You know, I think of, we have a missionary now that's translating the scriptures down the middle of nowhere. It would take you 36 hours to get there. And it's because people have gotten a heartbeat and a passion for, I see. And you know why all that's possible? You want to know why all that's possible? Is because there are some faithful people here that give. I just want you to know it. Because Because those of you that are part of it, I want you to know you're a part of what God's doing. Not only a part, but a big part of what God's called us to do in His economy. I don't know. It's amazing to me. So I gotta close. All right. See, I'm not going to get done today, but now I've got to go next week. And then the week after, that's missions conference. So this will be the end. But if there's never been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in Him, we always give you that opportunity with some pastors here or a booklet that you can grab, okay, on your way out called Got Questions. Love for you to grab that. What I was going to tell you is I'm going to be sharing after the conference, missions conference, I'm going to share in a series called Encounter. And there are encounters that people in the Scriptures had with God and how it changed their lives. Oh, looking forward to share that with you. All right, let's everybody stand. Tim, come on up and close us in prayer. Hey, if you're a guest with us, please stop by the guest reception. I'd love to get a chance to meet you today. God bless you all. You have a great day. Tim.
Thanks, Pastor. Hey, Pastor, right here. Oh, I'll switch over. Oh, come on now. Oh, he'll lose it. I'll try that again. Pastor Ray is going to be down here, and he just let me know also, we were talking about it, that, you know, if you are you're just curious about things of the faith, or you're a new believer, or you've been away from church for a while, we have a brand new connection group that runs 8-10 weeks that starts today, and it's for new believers, and you can stop by the information center. They can point you to where that's going to meet. It'll run 10:45 till noon. Mike Vasquez will be leading that, and so it's a perfect place. We've been wanting to get this going for a while, so we're going to launch this one, and it'll run 8-10 weeks. So if you're interested in that, that would be a great thing to do. And others, if you're not sure where to get hooked up into a connection group, you know, sign up for Main Street or whatever, but stop by the Information Center. If you want to join a group today, stop by one. They can point you that direction also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to have gathered here today and lifted up our voices to You, opened our hearts to You, and Lord, with everything that we are, we want to honor You. Lord, I want to pray for our connection groups in the next hour, that it's a place where we really get to connect with each other. We're thankful for the opportunity to connect with You this morning. Lord, we got a world that certainly needs You, and I just pray, Lord, You give us opportunities to share with our neighbors and friends and coworkers Your incredible message and Your incredible love. We love You, Lord. We praise You, and we want to lift You up this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. Guys, have an incredible, wonderful day.